Our next guest knows a thing or two about a top-notch offense, considering he was a part of one of the most special units in league history, the greatest show on turf. From Kurt Warner to Marshall Faulk to Holt and Isaac Bruce, Mike Martz has seen it all when it comes to offensive football. Coach Martz, along with Ron Pitts, they have a podcast you can check out called Run It Again. So let's break down this draft. Let's talk some offensive football. Coach Martz, it's John Jastrzemski. Appreciate a couple minutes. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, John. Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, Coach, my pleasure. And listen, you must watch the NFL now because your team was kind of ahead of its time with Kurt Warner and Marshall Faulk and Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt. I mean, you watch the football that's being played now with some of these fantasy football numbers, with these crazy wide receiver sets. Do you kind of feel like a guy who is almost, in a way, ahead of the curve?
Well, I think we're ahead of the curve in terms of the personnel we had. You know, we had such a complement of weapons there. And I think in the perimeter, I think people have put more on receivers these days and less on running backs and the development of the quarterbacks. And, you know, in those days, everybody relied so heavily on the running game, stop the run first kind of a deal. And what we did, because we had those kinds of players, you know, we just started using them all, you know, spread them out, and it took the pressure off of Marshall. And I think, you know, as years go by, just the athletes themselves have gotten so much better, and, you know, they train, and they're just the wide receivers that are available, particularly in this draft, are pretty unique.
Well, Coach, a lot of people are talking about the wide receivers. I've heard it, you know, ad nauseum, the idea that this is the deepest group of wide receivers maybe going into a draft that you've ever seen. Do you buy that idea?
Pretty good. It's a pretty good group. I don't know if it's the best, but it's certainly got to be one of the strongest. I don't know how you had the top four or five guys are, you know, it's kind of pick your flavor kind of a deal, but they're all very, very productive and run after the catch and big guys. And, you know, they've been making plays for a long time in their career. So it's not hard to project them into the NFL and doing well. And that's unusual. You know, you sometimes the first two or three guys are that kind of a player, and then you're kind of guessing on the rest of them. Shoot, when we took Torrey Holt in the sixth pick, there was two guys. Torrey and I think Dave Boston was the other receiver, and that was kind of it. So I think this is a very, very strong draft in terms of the wide receivers, and really there's some really top-notch quarterbacks here too.
Well, Coach, do you have a particular wide receiver you like the best? I mean, we're hearing about Judy. We're hearing about Ruggs. Of course, CeeDee Lamb at Oklahoma. Pittman at USC, I think he's going to be a tremendous player in this league. Like, as you've been going through looking at a few of these guys, who really stood out to you?
Well, Judy, I do like him quite a bit. The fact that he's played in such a pressure situation and produced, and he's such a strong guy. All around, Jefferson at LSU, I think, is terrific. Lamb, obviously, the big playability of all these guys, and then Ruggs, you know. So all these guys are potential number ones, in my opinion, and that just doesn't happen very often to have that many in the first round or the first two rounds like that.
We got Mike Martz, the former head coach of the St. Louis Rams, a part of that insane offense that you remember. The greatest show on turf. And Coach has a podcast with Ron Pitts called Run It Again. Okay, Coach, the quarterback dilemma. We know Burrow's going to be the first guy selected. It's the worst-kept secret in the world. He's going to end up as a member of the Cincinnati Bengals. But then you get to Tua. And listen, there are serious questions about the health and the status and what kind of shape he's going to be in. But then you watch his game film, and you see him in that national championship game. You see him against the best of the best in the SEC. Coach, I'm a Miami Dolphins fan, so my team has not had the star quarterback going back to the days of Dan Marino. They missed out on Drew Brees many moons ago. For me, I think it's a really, really tough call to pass up the idea of taking Tua. If you were to be in that position and you had to take the second quarterback on the board, Tua, Justin Herbert, Jordan Love, who do you like the most?
Well, I think probably Herbert. I do like Tua. I probably would pick Tua. The injuries bother me a great deal. The fact he's been injured with two serious injuries like that would scare me a little bit about him. He's just a little bit undersized. I think Justin is a guy that has got so much ahead of him. From what they do offensively, they don't challenge him a whole lot. That doesn't mean that's a bad thing, but they just don't. So there's some of the things that I think it's been a knock on him that just is not accurate. When he gets in the league, he's a smart guy. big guy that's very athletic and make all those throws. I just think that over the long haul, he might be a better pick. That's no reflection on Tua's ability. I think that just being able to hold up in the long run would bother me about Tua.
And I totally get that, Coach. Now, we're hearing about the leadership questions that some NFL teams have, and it's been something that's been brought up when it comes to Justin Herbert. And, Coach, you know this. You've been in NFL locker rooms. Like, in many ways, there's like a certain leadership it factor, alpha factor that I think you're looking for in many ways from your quarterback, especially on a team. You know, it's one thing when you go into a locker room where there are star players, where there are a lot of big names, where that quarterback can kind of step in and hit the ground running. But for a team that hasn't had much of a culture and has done a fair share of losing, is that a concern you would have going into a draft if the quarterback had leadership questions and you worried about his ability, dare I say, to go and lead a team?
I think it's a very good question, very fair question. I think leadership in the NFL to some extent is misunderstood. And I do think that people equate that with a bit of being a cheerleader and getting his guys up and ready to play. And it has very little to do with that. Kirk didn't say anything. He spoke very little, for instance, when he his first year. The biggest issue, what men in the league, what men will respond to and follow and look up to and emulate are guys that play very well, guys that line up and put it on the line and are tough and are competitive. The most competitive guy in the field needs to be the quarterback. And if whether he says a word or all he does is jibber-jabber, it doesn't make any difference. As long as what he does in the field, he competes better than anybody else, and he makes plays, and he gets them down the field. No matter what he says, I hear what you do, not what you say, kind of a deal. And to me, that's what that league's about. You know, and when you line up, there's a certain confidence that the guys in the huddle have in you. You're not going to create that confidence by what you say. You create it by what you do.
Coach Mike Martz, he joins us here on CBS Sports Radio and WFAN. He's got a new podcast out. It's called Run It Again, alongside Ron Pitts. And, Coach, you see Christian McCaffrey, who can do it all running back. I know you'd find a way to make sure that Christian McCaffrey's getting 25-plus touches a game with everything he can do, running it, catching out of the backfield. Different type of player to Marshall Faulk, but, I mean, the same sort of skill set in being able to be as versatile as it gets. And I'm curious, with the way the league has changed, and look, McCaffrey is one of those special guys at running back, but in many instances, Coach, you know, you see running backs in the league, they have 3 or 4 years, they flame out, and then the team is kind of discarding them, and it's on to the next guy. If you were a part of an NFL team right now, are you one of these guys that would still put a premium on taking a running back early, or dare I say paying a running back? Or have we now witnessed, you know, an evolution within the league where, as a whole, it's a position that should be devalued?
Well, I think you're right about the league has devalued the running back position to some extent, and I think it's more than likely going to swing back a little bit in the other direction. You know, a really outstanding running game can impact a football game. Indeed, in a way that, you know, big play passing games can't, because they dominate the clock and keep the other team off the field. So I think a terrific, not just an average, but a terrific running back is worth his weight in gold. You know, you can ride him, you know, when you have to in games and close games out with him. I would put way more value on an outstanding runner than probably most guys do, but I had that blessing. You know, I was able to do that. Christian McCaffrey is one of my all-time favorite players in the league to watch. He's just so much fun to watch, and you know, he would be somebody that you would make touch that football, like you said, at least 25 times a game.
All right, Coach, before we get you out of here, you obviously now will always have a place in NFL history for being a part of the greatest show on turf. For my money, it's one of the most dominant offenses I've ever seen in my years of watching the NFL. And then you go back to that Super Bowl you guys had. You won when you were an offensive coordinator and you took down the Tennessee Titans. And it looked like you guys were on your way to 2 out of 3. You're a big favorite against the New England Patriots. That's the rise of Tom Brady, Bill Belichick. And let's just say there were some extracurriculars going into that game that end up being a subject. Coach, is that something that still kind of stings you? It still bothers you with the way that game went down with New England?
Well, yeah, I don't think about that. I really don't. What I think about are the 3 turnovers. You know, we controlled our fate in that game completely. Guys, going into the fourth quarter, I don't think they had 100 yards of offense. We had close to 400. I mean, we went up and down the field, but we turned the ball over, and one was a pick six right out of the gate there in the first quarter. So, you know, to overcome, and they scored 17 points on that, 17 of their 20 points on that. So we had control of that. Two of those turnovers were just our fault. The other one, they made a nice, they knocked the ball out of Ricky's hand, but you got to hang on to that kind of a deal. So I would blame ourselves more than anything else on that, what happened on the other side of the ball. If they did film practice or they did cheat somehow, it didn't help much. They
Coach,
didn't put it to good use.
Tremendous answer, my friend. And listen, you've had an illustrious NFL career. I appreciate a couple of minutes. Best of luck with the podcast. This was an absolute blast talking some ball.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
Mike Martz, good stuff there.